Two humorous nurses would like to acknowledge the true custodians of the land in which we record our podcast, the Yorta Yorta people.
We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders listening today. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Two humorous nurses with Kelly and Alicia. Welcome back to part two of Lucy Letby. We pick it up in the start of COVID where investigations had slowed a little, but it was about to power on ahead. Thank you for coming back for part two. Enjoy. COVID hit and then the investigation basically just slowed. Interesting fact, though, she was only placed on interim suspension by the Nursing and Midwifery Council in March of 2020.
Oh, so she was still working.
Well, I don't know if she was working, but she was registered.
Fucking hell.
She was arrested for a final time in November of 2020, where she was formally charged with 8 counts of murder and 10 counts of attempted murder. She was denied bail, thankfully, and remained in police custody. Lucy denied all charges and blames hospital hygiene and staffing issues. The consultants, one in particular, Ravi Jayaram, first noticed the association as early as June 2015, and he made, like, he let people know.
Good.
He was not silent through this whole thing. Good. Like, he let people know. Does no one ever fucking listen to him? Mm. He's quoted as saying, "The rational part of myself told me to stop being so ridiculous. I kept doing what I was doing, but the thought just kept coming back into my head."
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really sorry for him because he knew.
He tried really hard.
Tried so hard. And it's sort of said later that, you know, they could have saved so many babies' mm-hmm. lives. So many babies. During COVID, Lucy didn't go to court until October 2022.
Sure.
Victims were referred to as Child A through to Child Q. The press secrecy around the identities of the 17 babies and the 9 colleagues who gave evidence was rarely seen outside proceedings involving matters of national security. The press were actually really respectful of this.
That's good.
Which is pretty shocking because British media are fucking ruthless.
Yeah, they are.
But they – and even in the podcast that I listened to, which was Real Time, one of the reporters was going to the court every single day and then they would do the podcast episode
that
at the end
amazing.
Of the week.
What commitment.
They literally only reported what was said in the court.
Yeah.
They didn't speculate. They didn't do what we just
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talking about what yeah. we think might be wrong with it. They only reported what was in the court.
The facts.
They did not give any evidence away about the names.
Yep.
They also, if the court were told that could not be made public, did not make it public.
Wow,
like,
that's amazing.
And the press were like very much so. Even in the final, I watched the final 25 minutes of the judge's speech.
Yeah.
When he was talking about the children, the video just cut out.
Wow.
It just says this has been like blurred, or this has been stopped due to identity,
yeah.
Yes, stuff. So they were very, very quiet on that, like, which I think is very good. Like, and there are laws in the UK that say that victims can't be identified if for whatever reason they don't want to, but because these are minors, they can't be identified.
Do you know something? Can I tell you a side note? Mm-hmm. Just this is what I do.
Yeah.
You know Bluey, the TV show?
Yeah.
The children who voice the characters in Bluey are not listed in the credits and their identities won't ever be made public.
Wow. Yep. That's good.
I know, considering it's like the biggest children's show
in the world. Exactly.
Yeah, pretty cool, hey?
So this
I'm all for child protection.
Yeah, 100%. This bit I've literally just cut and pasted from Wikipedia because I was trying to find ways of like wording it to give you a bit of an idea of the things that were said, but mm-hmm. without having to write it all in my own okay. words. So this cut and paste. So.
Hashtag lazy.
Yeah, but I'm not admitting it. Thanks to all the people that put the work into Wikipedia. It's all reference to.
Oh, that's good.
Supposedly just newspaper articles, which is all my references are. So the prosecutor said that Letby was a constant
malevolent.
Fuck.
What's that mean?
The prosecutor said that Letby was a constant malevolent. Malevolent. That's the dumbest word. I'm not redoing it. Presence in the hospital's neonatal unit. There were witnesses that apparently walked in during or just after Letby's attack. A mother of one of the victims said she walked in on Letby trying to kill her baby, with Letby saying, "Trust me, I'm a nurse," when interrupted. Another mother walked in hearing her baby screaming to find blood around its mouth with Letby in the room. Letby told the mother to just go back to the ward. In the other podcast, that episode is horrible. The way the mother describes the scream of that baby, anyway. The baby's condition soon worsened and it later died in its parents' arms. The senior medical consultant who had not recommended a post-mortem examination at the time later said in court she regretted her decision, mm-hmm. which she said she had taken with a view to avoiding any further distress to the parents, who had expressed they were not keen to have a post-mortem carried out. Afterwards, Letby bathed the deceased baby in front of her parents. Another mother of a baby who died in October 2015 recounted an uncomfortable experience of Letby bathing her child, recounting, "Lucy Letby and another nurse asked me if I wanted to bathe my baby. While we were bathing her, Lucy came back in. She was smiling and kept going on about how she was present at the first bath and how our baby had loved it. I wish she would just stop talking." Letby's apparent obsession with this baby and family later continued. She sent a sympathy card to the parents after the baby's death on the day of its funeral. Upon Letby's arrest, it was found on her phone that she had photographed the card before she had sent it and still kept pictures of it. Like, she's a little messed up.
Oh, I'm like tingling all over. Yeah,
there was often, the parents often recounted uncomfortable interactions. She either become very close to them or they found her a little off. Like, there was, like, no in-between, really. Like, one family almost made her, like, they became friends in the unit, which as a mum in the NICU, I mean, we were only in there 3 weeks, but the nurses became like, and I feel like too, I had a bit of a connection because I was a nurse. So, you know, we would joke about the other parents in the room and stuff like that. But I can't remember any of their names. Like, I didn't become friends with them. Yeah. They were just my support people while I was in there. And I would certainly not have associated with them outside of the hospital, I don't think.
I think this is like, it's making me sick on so many levels, and I feel like going through pregnancy can sometimes be so, so hard. Like, you go from conception or preconception to conception to pregnancy, and you go through so much over that period of time, and you build a relationship with this baby inside you.
Yep.
And then you've obviously gone through some complication that's resulted in your baby being born early or unwell or whatever it is. And then to have that baby taken away from you, it's just,
yeah, in a way that can't be explained or couldn't be explained. So Lucy did give evidence. She spent 3 weeks on the stand, which is, I suppose, 3 weeks is one day a baby. Like, it's a long time. It said that when she was speaking about her cats or her life prior to the arrest, she was tearful, crying quietly. She only really broke down when talking about herself and the impact on her life. However, when talk about the baby started, she stopped crying, showed no emotion. She denied causing harm or killing any of the babies every time she was asked. However, she often contradicted herself, muddled her stories up, and became more and more frustrated with the prosecution's questions.
What was her response to the things that she'd written in her house?
So when she was asked why she wrote, "I am evil, I did this," she said, "I felt at the time that if I'd done something wrong, I must be such an evil, awful person, that I'd somehow been incompetent and had done something wrong which had affected those babies."
It implies guilt, mate.
Yeah. Letby said that the allegations had negatively impacted her mental health, saying, "I don't think you can be accused of anything worse than that. I just changed as a person and my mental health deteriorated. I felt isolated from my friends on the unit. From the self-confidence point of view, it made me question everything about myself." It was observed that Lucy eventually began to lose composure in the witness box, asking for a number of unplanned breaks. It was also observed she only broke down when talking about herself and the impact it had on her, which the prosecution said was telling.
Everything that she said could be applied to actually murdering.
Correct. Yeah. And I think you can, like, I think you can have a bad day and come home, and I'm sure people have written in journals, come home, written in your journal. I'll show you a picture of the
Yeah, but stuff. you would say something like, I wonder if there's anything else I could have done. Did I miss something? Like, these are the things 100%. You would write in your journal.
Yeah, that's right. You don't, and when you see this note, you might think, oh, yeah, you'll get what I'm saying about the, she's just trauma dumping.
Yeah.
Or it's just, it's in her brain and what's swirling around in her brain and what it's telling her, and it actually just needs to come out.
Not good. What does that top say? There's
some things on it that say, says, I'm an awful person. I can't breathe. I can't focus.
Hate myself.
Hate myself. Kill myself right now. Overwhelming fear. I'll never have children or marry. I haven't done anything wrong. Something about police slander, discrimination, victim.
Taking over my life.
I feel very alone.
I don't deserve mum and dad.
Yeah, the world would be better off without me.
I did this.
I don't deserve to live. Look, she's I killed them on purpose because I'm not good enough. I did this. Why me? Panic, fear, lost. Like it's not – this is on a handover sheet. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. There's others. I don't know where they are.
Jesus.
Anyway, she basically denied, continues to deny. On August 18th, 2023, after 10 months at trial and over 110 hours, over 11 days of jury deliberations, Lucy Letby was found guilty of 7 counts of murder, 7 counts of attempted murder. There were 2 murders and 6 further attempted murder charges that jury couldn't reach verdicts mm-hmm. on. After 5 days of deliberation, the judge told the jurors that they could just have a majority vote.
Oh.
It didn't have to be unanimous.
Really?
And then not long after that, a juror asked to be let go for personal reasons, which the judge agreed to. He said they were valid to be let go. So there were only 11 jurors in the end.
Yeah.
And it still took them 11 days to come to a deliberation, a majority deliberation.
Wow.
Another article that I read, which we probably never really think about either, is that after about the aftercare of jurors, because whilst this while they were reading out, you know how they have the one juror that stands up and tells the thing, or I don't know if they gave it to the judge or if they read it out, majority of the jurors were visibly upset on the dock. They were so they wondered, I mean, could you imagine 10 months of your life has been put, and then how would those families of those 8 babies whose lives have changed, whether they died or they didn't die, how do you explain to them, we can't make a decision because the evidence isn't enough we couldn't decide? So I think that's a lot to put on.
It's so much 12 to put people. On 12 lay people.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot.
And 10 months of their life, day in, day out. They can't do anything else. They can't go anywhere. They're probably seconded. Sequestered.
More of them didn't. Leave.
Yeah.
I suppose you can't once you're in, you're in.
No. On August 21st, 2023, Lucy was sentenced to life imprisonment with whole life orders, the most severe sentence possible under English law. She's the 4th woman in UK history to receive this sentence. She'll die in prison.
And there's no way out.
No way out. Well, she got 7 whole life sentences for each of the babies that she murdered. Cowardly, she didn't attend the sentence hearing. Neither did her parents, and she wasn't in court to hear the victim statements either. So I'm going to play you.
You should be made.
They've changed the law now.
Really?
Yep, so I'll jump straight to that. So a week after Lucy refused to be sent at the sentence hearing, which apparently they were allowed to do, the Prime Minister announced that the UK government would introduce legislation to Parliament that would compel convicted criminals to attend sentence hearing by force if necessary, or face the prospect of more time in prison.
Good.
So anyway, he prior to what you're about to hear, the judge basically said, it's quite long, it's 11 minutes. We will put it at the very end of the episode if you want to hear the whole 11 minutes. Or maybe we'll just link it in the show notes. I don't know. Because I feel like it's going to be a very long episode. You acted in a way that was completely contrary to the normal human instincts of nurturing and caring for babies, and in a gross breach of trust for all citizens placed in those who work in the medical and caring professions. The babies you harm were born prematurely and some were at risk of not surviving, but in each case you deliberately harm them, intending to kill them. In your evidence, you said that hurting a baby is completely against everything that being a nurse is, as indeed it should be. You also claim that you never did anything that was meant to hurt a baby and only ever did your best to care for them. That was but one of the many lies you were found to have told in this case. There is no doubt that you are intelligent and outwardly were a very conscientious, hardworking and knowledgeable, confident and professional nurse, which enabled you to repeatedly to harm babies on the unit without arousing suspicion for some time. It goes on more, but basically that he also said that he would be reading out his sentencing statement as if Lucy was in the room, mm-hmm. and that a transcript of his statement as well as a transcript of every victim impact statement will be given to her and she will have to read it. So I'll play you this and I'll put it in properly so we can – but this is like his sentencing. So 2 minutes, 45.
I must pass appropriate sentences according to law. Over a period of just under 13 months, you killed 7 fragile babies and attempted to kill 6 others. Some of your victims were only a day or a few days old. All were extremely vulnerable. They were in a hospital where others were striving to provide them with dedicated medical and nursing care. By their nature and number, such murders and attempted murders by a neonatal nurse entrusted to care for them are offences of very exceptional seriousness. The damaging impact of your actions on others working at that hospital, including those who numbered you as a friend, betraying their trust and creating upset and suspicion, as well as eroding confidence in clinicians and nurses generally, aggravates their seriousness. This was a cruel, calculated, and cynical campaign of child murder involving the smallest and most vulnerable of children, knowing that your actions were causing significant physical suffering and would cause untold mental suffering. You created situations so that collapses or causes of collapses would not be obvious or associated with you. You removed and retained confidential records of events relating to your crimes and checked up on bereaved parents. There was a deep malevolence bordering on sadism in your actions. During the course of this trial, you have coldly denied any responsibility for your wrongdoing and sought to attribute some fault to others. You have no remorse. There are no mitigating factors. In their tenderness and just punishment, according to law, requires a whole life order. Lucy Letby, on each of the 7 offences of murder and the 7 offences of attempted murder, I sentence you to imprisonment for life. Because the seriousness of your offences is exceptionally high, I direct that the early release provisions do not apply. The order of the court, therefore, is a whole life order on each and every offence, and you will spend the rest of your life in prison.
It's been intense.
It's so heavy.
And I don't think he could have made a better call. Like, she needs to die in prison.
I felt like I was there listening to that. And I feel like
I don't know.
It's so much. I wonder, like, I wish that I could have seen her reaction to that, you know?
I know. Yeah. She did apply for an appeal in January of this year, but a judge refused it. But she did renew the application, so now it goes to a court of three judges to decide whether they will grant permission. Police are continuing to investigate Lucy's entire career, including Liverpool Women's Hospital. Mm-hmm. So every baby she has ever cared for or was part of caring for is being looked into. They do believe there are more victims. In December of 2023, Lucy was finally removed from the nursing register. She stated that she didn't accept any guilt but did not contest the removal. Hard to nurse from prison. I found this interesting, but in October 2023, the Cheshire Constabulary announced that an investigation into corporate manslaughter against the Countess of Chester Hospital would begin. They are investigating senior leadership and decision making to determine if there was any criminality at the time of the charges. Detective Superintendent Blackwell stated, "At this stage, we are not investigating any individuals in relation to gross negligent manslaughter. The investigation is at its very early stages and we are unable to go into any further details or answer specific questions. We recognise that the investigation will have a significant impact on a number of different stakeholders, including the families in this case, and we continue to work alongside and support them during this process." So I googled what corporate manslaughter was because I don't know. So it's defined as Corporate Manslaughter and Corporate Homicide Act, defined under the Corporate Manslaughter Corporate Homicide Act of 27. An organisation can be found guilty of the offence if the way in which its activities are managed or organises causes a person's death and amounts to a gross breach of relevant duty of care owed by the organisation to that person. The offence applies only to certain organisations as defined by the Act. They include private bodies such as limited companies and partnerships, public bodies such as local authorities and the NHS trusts, and specific government departments and police forces can also be held liable. Individuals cannot be prosecuted for the offence, whether they are an accessory or otherwise. If found guilty of corporate manslaughter or corporate homicide, an organisation is liable for a fine. The family of Letby's victims welcome this news. Tamlin Bolton from the legal firm, which represents the families of the seven babies who were murdered, said that this is significant news today. The families we represent have continued to request that senior management at the Countess of Chester Hospital be investigated and or be part of investigations moving forward. We are reassured that some steps are now being taken to consider the actions of management from a criminal perspective. It will be for the CPS and the police to determine now if the conduct of the senior management at the Countess of Chester Hospital fell so far below they could be responsibly been expected of them, that their actions caused or contributed to the deaths of those seven children. Whilst the news is welcome, this announcement brings with it fresh anguish for families as they wait for the conclusions of further criminal investigations.
Can I ask a question? Why are there mandatory reporting standards for things like child abuse, child sexual abuse, but not for murder in a hospital?
Yeah.
Like if you suspect.
Yeah. Which they did and they reported multiple times. Yeah,
there has to be. I wonder, you know, if you look at your hospital policies, you know, is there anything in there saying that this is mandatory, you must report to police if this has happened? Like things like if an old person goes missing from the nursing home, you have to report to police.
Aged care's so different to
hospital care, unfortunately. I mean, just in general, like why is there not more mandatory reporting to authorities in that regard? And I wonder
what would happen if Dr. Ravi went straight to the police after being ignored.
He would have lost his job. So the cops would have knocked on the door of the hospital and said, we're here to investigate this. Mm. And the hospital would have said, we've already done internal investigations and we found nothing. Yep. And the police will have a look at those internal investigations and probably agree, and then that doctor will lose his job.
And let's remember, they did arrange for like internal investigations.
They did.
But they limited what they were allowed to do.
Yeah.
They weren't investigating why those babies died or why mortality rates were suddenly increased. They were looking at
the running of the ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't believe that hospitals do the right thing by doing internal investigations.
No.
I think sometimes they do, in that there are reviews, but if there are problems, where do they go?
They're numb to do her own review and find that the only person that was on shift every single time was Lucy, but still didn't do anything. Or if she tried to do something, nothing was done.
Yeah.
I can see how that happens.
Absolutely, I can too.
I've done
investigations from VIMSes that I have put in. Like that's commonplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, and if you're doing investigations and your line manager decides that that's satisfactory, it doesn't go anywhere.
No, that's exactly right. Right. I did put a poll up the other day asking if people wanted in-depth on the babies or not.
I just wanted to know how she killed them.
Everybody wanted to know. However, I can't do it, so go and listen to the trial podcast.
Honestly, this has been enough for me, I feel like.
But I'm going to give you a brief rundown on every child, on what happened and whether she was found guilty. She's also due to go back in court in June for a retrial of one of the children that the jury couldn't find a verdict on for attempted murder. So they're going to go back only if her appeal thing is by the three judges is already sorted.
Yeah.
Right, so child A and child B, twin boy and girl. Child A, the younger of two, died on the 8th of June, allegedly after air was injected into his bloodstream. His elder sister was allegedly attacked 28 hours later, but she survived.
Wouldn't take much air to kill an infant.
Absolutely not. Lucy faced one charge of murder and one charge of attempted murder and was found guilty of both. Child C, baby boy, who died just before 6 a.m. on the 14th of June. At the time, the consultant pathologist gave a cause of death as widespread hypoxic ischemic chain damage to the heart, myocardium due to lung disease. Lucy was faced one charge of murder and was found guilty.
So is that another air embolus? Like what?
Sometimes she would dislodge their breathing tubes.
Oh, fuck off. Mm.
So hypoxic.
Oh, that makes me sick.
Child D, the prosecution say she died following an intentional injection of air into the bloodstream and collapsed three times on the early hours of 22nd of June 2015. On the third collapse, she could not be revived and died in her parents' arms. She faced one charge of murder and was found guilty. Child E and F, the eldest child E, was allegedly murdered by an injection of air into the bloodstream and died on the early hours of the 4th of August. His mother interrupted the attack and found him distressed and bleeding from the mouth. His younger twin, child F, was also allegedly attacked a day later with insulin but survived. Let me face one charge of murder and one charge of attempted murder and was found guilty for both. Child A, B, C and D were the initial ones that set off the alarm bell for the doctor. They occurred between the 8th of June and the 22nd of June, so like a two-week period, less than a two-week period. And three babies died. Imagine having twins and then only taking one home and knowing that they almost died as well. Child G, Letby allegedly tried to kill child G, a baby girl, on three separate times. On one occasion, she fed an excessive amount of milk and the baby vomited everywhere. She was moved back to the hospital where she was born, recovered very quickly, and then she was moved back. She wasn't moved back. So sometimes they ship the babies out too, and they recovered. One time they shipped the baby out. We'll probably get to that actually. She faced three charges of attempted murder. She was found guilty of two charges of attempted murder and not guilty for one charge for that child. Child H, Letby faced two charges of attempted murder and she was found not guilty on one charge and the jury could not reach a verdict on the other charge. I don't know what happened to Child H. Child I, it was claimed Letby tried to kill Child I 4 times before succeeding. A massive amount of gas was found in her bowel and stomach, and the coronial ruled that the first 3 incidents had left her with brain damage. She faced 1 charge of murder and was found guilty. Child J, she was faced 1 charge of attempted murder, but the jury could not reach a verdict. Child K, Letby faced 1 charge of attempted murder, but could not reach a verdict. Child L and M, Child L was allegedly poisoned with insulin after Letby was moved from night shifts. As the twins' blood sugar dropped dangerously, Child M was harmed by having air injected into his bloodstream and came close to death. Both boys survived, but Child M was left with brain damage. She faced 2 charges of attempted murder, was found guilty of both. Child N faced 3 charges of attempted murder. She was found guilty for 1 attempt, but the jury could not reach a verdict on the other 2. Child O and P, 2 of the 3 triplet boys who died within a day of each other. Child O was found to have severe liver damage, like the result of an assault. Just 13 minutes after he died, medical records show Letby feeding Child P, the brother of Child O, alone, as Child B was P was being prepared to transfer elsewhere because his parents wanted him out. He also suddenly desaturated and died. Shortly before he died, Letby told a doctor, "He's not leaving here alive, is he?" But there really wasn't any reason for him to have died. She faced 2 charges of murder and was found guilty of both.
Fuck.
And then Child Q faced 1 charge of attempted murder, but the jury couldn't reach a verdict. As I said, if you want more in-depth on those babies, the Lucy Letby trial podcast goes into great detail. Like that, the one with the damage on the liver, they talk about whether it was an assault or whether it could have been caused by the resuscitation process or birth or, you know, all these things. And basically the doctors were like, we've only ever seen it in cases of assault. It's pretty intense and it's just a lot of babies.
It's a lot of babies.
I don't know if they'll find more. They're investigating over 4,000 babies.
I feel like they're going to find more. More near misses, more where she or you know, like that first one, that baby A was killed, right? Surely she's had a go before then.
Yeah, like why? I mean, she'd I don't know how long she'd been on that neonatal unit, the NICU unit, because you know, started in the June, but yeah,
in a lot of the ones that we've talked about. You know, they tend to test the limits of what is going to kill someone, what's just going to harm them, what's going to have no effect.
Very
so awful. So sad for these families. So sad.
It's really heartbreaking to think that there's people, and I think we say it every time, but there's people that are capable of doing, like, tiny babies. Like, they just seem to be off limits. Like, surely.
Mate, when Ollie was born, they're like, should we do her injections? And I was like, I'm like, I'm a rational person, also a nurse. I understand, you know, that vaccinations have saved lives and prevent communicable disease and whatever else. But I was like, but she's pristine. Like,
you're gonna
stick stuff in her? Why? Like, it seemed so irrational.
It's like when they give the vitamin K.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like,
do we need to?
Yeah, literally. And I'm like, but this baby is born. It's perfection. Like, why would you want to stick things in? And like,
so they don't die,
mate. And I'll never. And this is so not the same thing. But Ollie had a tongue tie, and they cut it the day after she was born. I was fucking hysterical. Hysterical, because she was crying over a tiny little cut,
and he probably fed her, and she was fine.
She was absolutely fine. Yeah,
it is hard. Like, it's so hard to like fathom how those parents, and like to go to hospital with you give birth to triplets, you've carried triplets, and then you only get to take one home.
And you only get to take one home
because you got it out before she could get to it. Right, and you know she would have tried.
It's so unjust, and it's you would spend the rest of your life asking why you and why your family.
And by baby Q,
yeah,
like, why didn't they stop it at baby D when the doctor first said
they knew.
Four collapses and three deaths in 2 weeks.
And you were on for all of them?
Soz, you know.
I don't know why there's no sense. Like, as a manager, because you are, if one of your staff came to you and said, I've got grave concerns here, I wonder, like, at what point do people lose their integrity and go, it's probably fine. Like, why aren't we doing the whole guilty until proven innocent? Why aren't we suspending people and then dealing with the consequences of the suspension and not letting people keep working and then having to deal with the consequences of people being murdered?
When I was an EN grad in the start of 2001, I was told, the ENs were all told, do not check DDs with this nurse. And I didn't understand why. I just thought, oh, maybe there's just a rule around it. You know, like, I didn't ask questions. I was a new nurse. Like, didn't – nothing registered in my brain.
Don't check DDs with
this nurse. And then, yeah, the rumors all started that she was stealing the drugs, and she was. And I – because I had checked drugs with her on night shift, and I remember thinking, I don't understand why we're giving morphine to this patient. They're asleep. We had to wake them up to give them morphine. And then the patient said, God, that stings. And in hindsight, it's because it stung, because it was saline. And I hadn't, you know, I didn't know any better. But, you know, like those, and they were investigating her, but no one had pulled her. And I think about sometimes, I can see, I mean, we can all see how it happens. I don't know. I've never been in that position to have to make a complaint like against someone or any of my staff or anything like that. And so I don't know. I'd like to think that I would speak up and speak up loud enough to be heard or to make. But then also,
it causes,
would they just drive you out?
Exactly.
Because
that's what happens.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The whistleblower. Well, I suppose we are a bit lucky. We do have whistleblower laws in Australia.
The problem is sort of two-pronged. Like, the first problem is like, okay, if you report it, there's a very good chance that nothing is going to be done, right? Yeah. Very good chance. And I've literally had a manager tell me that there was nothing they could do about a doctor, like, behaving really poorly. Then the second sort of part of that is, even if something is being done about the behaviour, you're not allowed to know about it. It's confidential between them and the bully.
Yeah, that's correct.
Or them and the person who's doing the wrong thing. So you're never actually seeing action, even if it is happening.
Yeah.
So you're never getting that reassurance or that closure. Anyway.
Yeah.
And so then you're left feeling defeated and why do I bother reporting things?
Yeah.
And that's what happens. It's just a cycle. Yeah. But I really think that, like, we are the next generation of nursing leaders. Like, you're the current, you know.
Mm.
And I think if we can all take on that thing of, like, I would rather deal with a nurse who's upset that they've been suspended while it's being investigated than deal with families asking why their babies have been killed.
Correct.
Yep. Like, why aren't we need to take that mentality first, because, fuck, I could upset anyone, you know. I'd take upsetting someone over and, like, them losing, you know, a week's pay or whatever it is. Like, put them on paid leave, big fucking deal. Like, you're not, you know, complicit in
That's exactly in murder. That.
Like, these organisations are facing. And I don't understand why there's not more, you know, consequence for the negligence of – you know, corporations.
Mm. And there never is. Well, there very rarely ever has been.
I'd be interested to know
the outcome.
I think what the fine looks like. But also, it's a fine for a public fucking hospital, isn't it?
Oh, I know. Yeah, public trust. Like, all that will mean is that they'll have to continue to work short-staffed while they recoup their costs.
It's fucked.
And, I mean, it's going to be ongoing. This investigation is going to be ongoing for years. Like, there's
going to be new stuff coming all the time.
You know,
I wonder if she'll ever write a book or something.
No, I don't think she would. I think she'll just go away to oblivion.
Go to her grave and never.
No, never. She'll never.
I wonder if there are many serial killers who don't say anything or deny everything and then suddenly they go, I'm ready to talk.
Don't know.
I think Ted Bundy did.
If she's listening, though, hit us up. We'll take it.
I wonder if she's that kind of person that's, like, Googling her own
name. I actually don't think she would be.
She's probably she too didn't busy come hanging out with her mum.
Stop. Her mummy wants to move closer to the prison.
And then, okay, let's, from the parents' perspective, like, what do you do? What do you do? Do you disown your only kid who was a NICU baby?
I don't think they – I think they believe her. I think they can look her in the eye and she can lie to them enough. I think I she's probably lied to them a lot.
Die, will she come out and be open about it?
And they're elderly, like they're their 70s. He's 10 years older than her. So I – another – nah, there's no point. There was a really funny comment on that Reddit thread. That was like, I have a whole hypothesis about the husband.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
She's like, I think, oh, I don't know if she's she. I think that he was married when he met Lucy's mum and then he left his wife for Lucy's mum because they didn't get married until Lucy's mum was 3 months pregnant and the timeline would show that maybe that's as long as it took for his divorce to go through and then maybe what? He doesn't – maybe he had kids with the other people, maybe he didn't, but he's just like completely left them and then devoted his life to like Lucy's mum. But Lucy's mum probably holds all the reins because she's the mum of like a NICU baby and a special baby. And yes, Lucy's probably his golden child, but the mum probably wears the pants. Like she went into this full in depth and I walked out thinking, what a cheater. Like I was like, because I'm easily convinced with conspiracy theories. Like they didn't land on the moon, but then I watch another one that's like, oh, they fully land on the moon. So I'm easily convinced. You just get me on the right day. But that Reddit thread was probably the best thing I've ever read.
Oh my God.
It was very
in depth.
Yeah, and people's perspectives on it were like, and another one was like from he.
Because I was like, is she the kind of kid that slept in her parents' bed till she was 19?
I don't reckon. Okay. But I do feel like there was a lot of.
Maybe she was breastfed till she was 12.
Maybe.
Like the kid from Game of Thrones, because he was a psychotic killer too.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Oh! If you have any opinions, feel free to drop us a comment under the episode post on Instagram at Two Humorous Nurses Podcast or in the episode thread on our private Facebook page. Just search up Two Humorous Nurses Podcast.
If you like this deep dive and you want more, you got to rate us 5 stars on whatever podcast platform you listen to because it really helps. But I don't know how it helps.
It helps somehow.
Just helps in the algorithm.
If everyone else is asking for it, then we want
just
it
do
too.
It. Yeah. Also, if you feel free to buy us a virtual coffee at buymeacoffee.com/humorousnurses, as this helps cover the costs of the podcast for the year, as we don't really plan on doing sponsorships this year. We're just going to lay low, put our favourite episodes out.
We're just going to do what we love.
And,
that exactly. spin-off might be happening after all. send us an email with other suggestions of people you'd like us to deep dive. hello@twohumorousnurses.com. We love hearing from people. I love when we get anonymous emails from random strangers. It's the best.
Yeah, it is the best.
Bye.
Bye.